The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 7th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we are a week into October. Can you believe it? 1 week already into one of the greatest sports months of the year. We are excited to be here. We're happy to be here. We're happy that you're here as well. And we have a whole lot to get to on today's show. Christian, happy Tuesday, sir. It's sunny. It's nice. It's beautiful outside in the Auburn Opelika area.
Yeah, it is. We're past the days of every single day at 2 o'clock or anywhere from 2 to 2:30 it raining. And so it feels like it's definitely a little bit of an uplift just simply from that. We have a fantastic show on tap for you once again today. We dove into it a little bit yesterday. We get to talk a lot more about it here today as we are just about halfway through the college football season. We're giving our Auburn team grades for offense, defense, special teams, and coaching as well, and a little bit of a conversation about those grades, what needs to change starting this weekend as Auburn welcomes the Georgia Bulldogs inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. We're talking a little bit more about Auburn's decision to start off the 2026 season. We had a whole lot of conversations on that yesterday, but it was a lot of raw reaction because that news dropped at about 2:59:45, and we go, or 1:59:45, and we go on right at 2. So it was much more of a trying to figure everything out, a little bit more of a discussion on that here today. And then a Tuesday at 2:30. We have Lee Scott Academy's head coach Buster Daniel joining us on the phone line, so I'll be able to sit down and talk with him, recapping Lee Scott's 27-20 win over Dadeville in overtime. Not a pretty win by any means, and he would be the first one to let you know that. Said that the post-game meeting on the field might not have been G-rated, so we might not ask him to completely repeat that here on the show today, but be able to talk about a really nice win and a really fun upcoming matchup, a battle of unbeatens, not a region game, but Lee Scott Academy traveling to Wadley to take on the undefeated Bulldogs. And so a very fun matchup upcoming for you here on this Friday before we dive into, again, a little bit more of that high school coverage to wrap up hour number one.
Yep, so phone lines are open up until we have Buster Daniel on with us, and then they'll be open the entire second hour of today's show. Phone number is 334-321-1390. If you'd like to call in and be a part of the show, you absolutely can do that. We would love to hear from you on this Tuesday afternoon, 334-321-1390. Or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we begin today's show by getting to the phone lines. And Mike, you're in early on this Tuesday edition of the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I'd just like to know, why did they move the game with Baylor to Atlanta?
Yes, so the news that broke yesterday, about this time yesterday afternoon, Auburn University and the football program and athletics director John Cohen decided to move the Auburn season opener for football next year against Baylor, which was supposed to be at home in Jordan-Hare. That is now going to be the Aflac kickoff game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in downtown Atlanta. And the reasoning is Auburn football players will now have an opportunity to make $5 million collectively in NIL money based off of ticket sales and events around the stadium and things like that. And so the football team is going to be able to financially benefit through NIL dollars this way.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you, Jacob.
Yep, appreciate it, Mike. Good to hear from you. We're going to talk more about that today because I have a feeling, well, it's not a feeling, it's a fact, it's a known. Fans are not happy with this. I've yet to see a single person that supports this idea.
Outside of ones that made the decision.
Right, and John Cohen is yet to make a true statement outside of the pre-planned statement for the news breaking, right? And Hugh Freeze was asked about it last night on Tiger Talk and gave a pretty PC answer, as you would expect him to do.
Was that the quote about, you know, when you have the ability to continue to build your roster, it's hard to look at that and say no,
pretty much, yeah. And from the head coaching perspective, I get it, right? I mean, let's just be real, and I know this isn't the focal point of our conversation today, but as the head coach, right, your goal is not, and this sounds so bad, and I don't mean it this way, but his job is not to focus on the local businesses of Auburn, I guess, right, in the local economy. His job is to build a program and to try and build a roster and win football games.
I mean, that's what his job is based off of. Unfortunately, we've talked about the pressures of that, of, man, you hope that there's obviously side bullet points or bullet points underneath the main topic, but in today's era of college football, you're judged based off of the first category, which is your wins.
Yeah, and yesterday I described it as, in a vacuum, the idea of moving the season opener next year for Auburn football out of Jordan-Hare into Mercedes-Benz with the opportunity for the football team to make up to $5 million in NIL money. In a vacuum, that idea makes sense. That idea probably looks pretty good on paper. And in certain areas, and maybe other college towns, that idea would be celebrated, or it wouldn't have had so much negative pushback like it did here. But then how we described it on top of that, Christian, was, okay, in a vacuum it looks good, but let's take just two or three steps back and look at the grand scheme of things. And this hurts a lot of people.
Yeah.
This hurts the 125,000 plus people that live and work in Auburn Opelika. This hurts the thousands of local businesses in Auburn Opelika that benefit from a weekend like this. We're talking a $10 million decision that was made yesterday by John Cohen in Auburn Athletics. A $10 million decision to give that money to Atlanta, not to Auburn Opelika. And that's where people are frustrated. That's where people got upset. And look, I've seen dozens of people, which I don't know how much this means to the athletics department at that point, but dozens of people who have said, yeah, I'm done with season tickets. We cancel. I saw dozens of people cancel their season tickets yesterday because of decisions like this and refusing to continue to support a program financially that doesn't pick its fans first. And I understand where they're coming from. And I think it sounds like that's kind of where Mike was coming from. At least he was looking for some clarity, though, I think.
Yeah. I mean, again, in us being students not long ago at all, again, you're a year out further than I am, but we're still very much in touch with the student body and those that are still students. And you're seeing,
I didn't even think about
you're seeing their reactions now. I saw a lot of that last night and got to talk with a couple of them that's like, man, like, if that's my senior year, I lost a home game that I'm never going to get back.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the games on college campuses mean so much. I mean, think about the memories, unless you were there for the last 3 or 4 years like we were, where there weren't really any memories inside Jordan-Hare. But think about, I mean, the one game and how important that could mean. Again, even when Auburn wasn't good, we still all went and still had a great time. And the students now lose a home game, right? I mean, there's so much that goes into everything when you truly look at the 2026 season, and even more so, you're losing a home game in what is going to be a brutal 2026 schedule.
Oh, yeah. Next year is horrible.
I mean,
it might just be the hardest schedule in the country. Auburn's right back to that narrative.
Between 2026 and 2028, because again, with the schedule, the nine-game schedule, you play that schedule every other year rather than it being last year and this year where you just simply switch home and aways. You now do that every 2 years, so that way you're on that two-year rotation of still playing everybody every third year, or every second year. And so that's kind of where everything is at right now. But yeah, you mentioned it now with moving the Baylor game to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Your home games are Southern Miss, Jacksonville State, Arkansas, Florida, and LSU.
I think
Vandy in there as well.
So you have, in my opinion, two promotable, hypeable home games next year.
Florida and LSU.
Florida and LSU.
You go to Georgia, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Alabama. That's your road schedule. And now you essentially add Baylor in that 50-50 category of a neutral site game.
You made that game harder on yourself.
Correct.
You made that game more difficult by moving it to Atlanta than playing it inside your stadium. And the fact that they're going to try and sell this, that Auburn is still hosting Baylor, come on. Come on, we're not buying that, right? We're not actually convincing ourselves that Auburn is hosting Baylor in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Even if they are, I mean, is this going to be the first of just annual buyouts for whoever wants to host Georgia, Florida? Well, the game's in Austin, Texas. Now the game's at Jerry's World.
Yeah,
because Jerry wanted it to be there. It wanted to celebrate college football in Texas where the game has zero correlation.
Yeah, Bud Light stepped in and said, hey, we'll pay to have the game. We'll pay Jerry. We'll pay him, you know, a third of the cost if we can borrow a stadium for the weekend.
Yeah, Ohio State, Michigan. The game is now going to be played in New Orleans in the Superdome because a neutral site game is awesome and we want it to feel like a bowl game and we could step in and rip the game away from college football stadiums and students and season ticket holders and donors and everything like that because it would benefit the players that are in the game.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And clearly, again, you can just see and hear the frustrations of Auburn fans. And look, I
think another thing before – not sorry to cut you off, but there was a big-time conversation on social media on X that I saw that I did not participate in, but it is fun to do the scrolling when you can grab your popcorn and do everything like that. But a legitimate conversation and an argument of saying, what if Auburn's 5-0 at this point and they're having success in the football season? Does that make things a little bit easier? Or success over the past 3 years, does that make things a little bit easier? And I think the answer is definitely yes. But it's because over the past 5-6 years, when Auburn has been so down in their football playing, in their football era, we called it the Tennessee comparison, the only thing that's been there is the fan base.
Yeah.
And now, despite all of the frustration, despite the lack of success that you have, the fan base that has stuck with you the entire time, and I know this is not exactly how it's being portrayed on the athletic side of things, but it almost feels like the finger, just given to
it's a kick to the the Nads. Yeah. I mean, it is. It that's what it feels like.
Again, and I don't think that's truly how it's wanting to be portrayed. But
right, that's how they feel, though.
Right.
I mean, how many times in a relationship, right, do you do something with not bad intentions, but then the other person in the relationship is emotionally hurt because of it? You didn't know it happened that way, but that's how they feel.
Even if you think that it's better for the both of you.
Right. That's what happened here.
Correct.
And I don't envy John Cohen in having to make this decision. That's not a hard thing to do. That's an extremely hard thing to do because I would like to believe that he made this call, him and Hugh Freeze and anybody else that had a hand in this. I would like to believe that they made this decision because they felt it was the best thing for the Auburn football program.
Yeah, they did it with the best interest of both parties in mind.
But I want to tack on to what you were saying, which is if Auburn has had or would have had success in the past 3, 4, 5 years, I would also like to think that Auburn wouldn't be in a spot financially with NIL to have to go and do something like this.
Yeah.
Right, to where you don't have to auction off your season opener because that's what this was. Auburn secretly put this on the black market and said, Not that we want to sell the season opener, but...
Or for all you know, Aflac came in and they said, oh, sure, we'll listen to a conversation. We'll pick up the phone.
Yeah, and it very well could have gone that way. But at the end of the day, you sold out. You went belly up, you sold out, and you did what you thought was best. And that's fine. And I support people that operate that way. But you would like to think that if Auburn has had more success in recent years, you wouldn't have to sell out and auction off your season opener, your home opener, to pay your athletes to come play football here.
Yeah, and it's all speculation. We're not out here saying that this is the reason for it, but we got a text towards the end of the show yesterday that I think you read off, but we weren't able to dive completely into that conversation. But what if it is at the point of, since Auburn football hasn't had success, the boosters this year were saying, all right, we're going to wait until there's on-field success,
sure,
to put any sort of financial resolve back into what we're traditionally doing every single year. And now you're at the point where you're 3-2 based off these years, or based off the back-to-back losses, and it's okay, we're going to take a step to the side.
Well, same thing with the fans. I mean, how many fans have cut back on their donations, right, and their support of Auburn athletics or Auburn football and things?
Because, while ticket sales go up.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's just how an economy works,
or
man.
Or prices, maybe not sales, but prices.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. Yeah, prices go up and things. And, I mean, that's just how the world works, man. People want to support winning teams, winning programs. You want to see your ROI. That's a term a lot of people in college football are now learning that they knew of but never had to deal with, right? Your return on investment.
Even if it's just emotional as a fan.
Sure. Yeah.
As in buying a family of four, going buying four SEC tickets for the return of investment of watching your team, A, go on and put a good performance, but the emotional investment as well.
Yeah. Somebody sent us a text in our text box, 334-784-1067. We'll read this and then get to break and start talking about the grades for this Auburn team so far this season. It says, the fans and small businesses don't have their names on the stadium, and they can't compete with the money being brought in. This is the natural consequence of NIL. Plus, you got to incentivize these players to stay if and when you change a head coach.
Don't we love that we're at that point of the conversation? That there's a, what's the word for it? Not a parenthesis.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're trying to say.
If, when, what's the, oh my gosh, this is really bad.
I'm still not picking up
a slash. What's the official word for that? When you say if, when, there's a.
Oh, the, what? Yeah, whatever that's called.
Yeah, that's really poor. It's not a hyphen, obviously. And we're not. I mean, there's the front dash. Anyways, the fact that we're at that point of the conversation of saying if, when.
Research, do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Research isn't really helping the cause.
No, here. It's not. No. It's just a slash, is it not?
I think, but.
I don't know. I don't know. The fact that we're both journalism majors is pretty wild to me. I think it's a slash. I just think that's what it is. Yeah. I think it's what it is.
There's a backslash and forward slash. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a slash. Okay. See, you had me questioning myself.
I had myself freaked out over there. But again, the fact that we're now at that conversation of if/when there's a new head coach.
Sounds like that text is going in the direction of Auburn trying to cover its own you know what, and I don't know if that's where this is coming from. I understand the ideology there, but I don't think that's what this is yet.
Yeah, I don't think that this is talking about needing that as a buyout, but again, I think it's a natural cause. Oh no.
Someone says I should have bought my Tiger Walk brick outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I mean,
that's funny.
Yeah. But no, again, I don't think that it's necessarily that far, but it's unfortunate that this is where you're at, where you feel like you need to do things like this to compete in the, quote, natural causes of NIL going all the way back to when it was first implemented and there was absolutely zero structure. Now you're only 5-6 years into it, and this is where you're already at.
Yeah, I get it, man. And the fans are upset. Fans are not happy with it, but it is what it is. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'll come back, and we're going to start giving out some grades for this Auburn team so far this season. Offense, defense, expectations, and beyond. We talk about that as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And stick around for us as we'll have at the bottom of the hour, we'll take our break and come back, and we'll have Lee Scott Academy's head football coach, Buster Daniel, will join us. He'll talk to Christian about what the Warriors did last Friday, what they have coming up this Friday. So that'll be here in about 10 minutes or so.
It was Virgil. That is the slash in an English expression that separates the and in the or in the and or. Little synonym or symbol, yeah, not synonym, but symbol.
There's just
or if when.
That's not the word I was thinking of. But slash just seems so like, that seems like slang. That doesn't seem like the right.
What, just so that way people do know that I'm halfway talking about.
Well, all right, so question for our listeners. You can shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. Question of the day, we haven't had one in a while. What do you call the backslash or forward slash? What's another name for that symbol and punctuation? The backslash or forward slash? What's another name for that?
You probably just said the two words that many people use, forward and backslash.
I guess. I just feel like there's another.
I know backslash. I feel like that's what you say when you're reading the actual.
I don't know.
This is hurting my brain.
Yeah, it's my brain is not computing what we're trying
verbal
to say.
Verbal journalism,
here.
Baby.
Yeah, man. There's a reason we talk and not write. That's where we are. So, no, we wanted to have a little conversation, and it's something that we'll start to get into, but probably have to pick up as we go throughout today's show. But giving Auburn football team grades to this point in the season, right? Because it's not quite the halfway point, but it's pretty close for Auburn. And you had your first few games, you had your first bye, now you hit the second group of games before your second bye, and then you wrap up at the end of the season. You had your first five, you've got your next five, and then you'll play your final two. And I think that sets up very well for Auburn, right? And that's why expectations at the start of the year were pretty high, right? Auburn's win total was 7.5. We were like, oh, easily Auburn can do that and win 8 games, right? And so we'll dive into positions and sides of the ball and things as we go, but what's your overall team grade to this point in the season, Christian? Everything considered, again, we'll break it down later, but just as a group, as a whole, what's Auburn's team grade to you right now? And I want people to text us as well, 334-784-1067. If you were the teacher, you're the professor, Auburn's exam is on the table, and you've got the red Sharpie in hand, what letter do you write and circle on that piece of paper?
I was trying to think throughout the break of each individual position group, so now I'm trying to.
Oh, just do, you know,
yeah,
average them out.
No. The letter is a C. I'm trying to think if there is a plus, a minus, or just nothing at all. I think I'm going to lean towards the plus. A C plus, but a lot of that weight is because of the defensive side of the football. But I think C plus is the overall answer that I am willing to give.
C plus. Were your parents happy with C's growing up?
No.
My parents weren't either. C's were not acceptable in my household. A's and B's were fine. Mom was not cool with a C. I brought home a D one time in, oh God, I'm trying to think. I want to say sixth grade. I think it was sixth grade science that I got a D, and that was a long semester.
I brought home 1C, and it was Spanish 3, and that was the one grade that we were okay with.
That's fair. I had a D in college at Auburn.
That's okay. That's perfectly fine. Nobody knows about it now.
No, I mean, that was, and that's the most work I've ever put in a class in my entire life, and I still got a D in it. So, for Auburn football at this point, I take the offensive performance. I take the defensive performance. I take the special teams performance.
Gosh.
I take the coaching.
Yeah.
And I take the results. And different things are weighted differently. Right? In exams, you have a multiple choice. They're usually worth about a point. You have short answers, which are normally 3 to 5. And then there's typically an essay question in there, too, that's pretty heavily weighted. Right? Results are what I weigh the most. And the fact that you are 3-2, the way that you're 3-2, with the offensive struggles, with the special teams debacle still, but an A-plus defense. Yes, I'm saying A-plus defense. I put a D on the offense. If you're lucky, I don't believe in D-pluses and D-minuses. You're getting a D, brother. D's a D. Special teams, F. Coaching, C-minus. I don't know what all that averages out to. But you're looking at a C-minus, and you're on the verge of being grounded for months if you bring that home to me. I'm putting a D or a C-minus on there, circling it, and writing C-me on the paper right now for Auburn football. That's where I'm at. But it's only the midterm. You still have chances to make up for it. You still have a chance to bring that grade up, right? You just lost your phone until the grade gets better, but you're having to tell your parents, they don't put grades in. They don't update the book. We don't have a test for another 2 months.
Or you can actually say, but it's okay. We have another test this week, this Friday.
Yeah.
Which is Saturday, but this Friday.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with Auburn.
We have our chance to get our phone back. You want to go to the homecoming dance?
Yeah. Yeah, raise your grade. And yeah. Auburn has every chance to do that.
Son, you can go to school and you can go to practice.
Straight home. Straight to practice, straight home. Or work in my case, too. But no, there's no hanging out in the parking lot after school right now for this Auburn football team. There's no going out to get food on Thursdays for this Auburn football team. There's no homecoming dance for this Auburn football team. They're not even bringing books home right now.
I was late one too many times to class.
In high school?
Yeah.
How are you late to class in high school?
Correct.
It starts at the same time every day.
Correct. I did not have the truck for a couple days. I had to ride the yellow cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about where Auburn is. Auburn's standing outside the little green generator box.
As a senior in high school.
Ready to run.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is where Auburn's
hoodie
right
and
now.
Hat on, trying to just cover face.
Earbuds in. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear about it. Oh, your buddies would give you so much crap. Oh, God.
It's okay. Wait till you had to find a ride home for practice.
That's where Auburn football is. Their grades suck. We'll talk about it, though. They do have chances to fix it.
Lee Scott's grades doesn't suck.
True. We'll hear about that next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin, and I get the pleasure today, as I do every single Tuesday afternoon at 2:30, of being joined by the head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel. Coach, hopefully the blood pressure was able to slow down just a little bit on that bus ride home Friday night.
Yeah, it seemed to calm down a little bit. You know, a win takes care of a lot of things, even though it was an ugly win. It takes care of a lot of problems, but you know we talked after the game about being, you know, proud of the win, but not proud of the way we performed. And you know we go right back to practice, started on Monday, and we're trying to iron some things out.
Well, you're coming off again that bye week 2 weeks ago, going on the road, taking on a 1-4 Dadeville team at the time, which I think everybody that watched or listened to that game, as we talked about in the pregame show, of how that record was not truly determining of the talent that was on that team, and not sugarcoating it, not a very pretty game for the Warriors, but your team found a way to win. As you mentioned, the Warriors defeat the Tigers 27-20 in overtime. What was your biggest teaching point from this game throughout the week or possibly on Monday at practice?
Well, yeah, and it was more about Dable than anything. You know, we talked last week about, you know, their record, like you just said, was not an indication of how good they were. They had outstanding quarterback, had running backs, had a receiver that could beat you over the top, which he did on us a couple of times. You know, we had talked about, respecting our opponent, Giving them the credit they deserve. You know, the record was at the time was 1-3, and they lost to a really good Randolph County team. They lost to a good Hanley team. So they weren't that bad of a football team, and our guys just kind of, you know, it seemed like it was a replay of last year. You know, we had talked about it, kind of maybe not necessarily overlooking them, but not giving them the respect they deserve on being a good football team. But we had talked about it all week. I told them on Monday and Tuesday of last week that I was concerned of where their mindset was, their preparation for Dayville. You know, we had talked about it all last week, and it came to fruition on Friday. You know, we didn't play very well.
On the flip side of that, what were some of the points that you want to continue to highlight? Again, that this team did really, really well, and I guess it's a little bit of a difficult question to have to ask because, again, in this 3A level, you have so many guys that are playing both sides of the football, and for them to make a mistake offensively or defensively and then immediately have to go and play that linebacker spot or the corner or the safety or whatever the case may be, what are some of the points that you would like to highlight that this team did really well?
Well, you know, it's just the next play. You know, that's what we keep talking to them. You know, you're going to make mistakes. It's a game, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, it doesn't matter. You're going to make mistakes.
Sure.
And you can't hang your head. You got to keep playing. And, you know, like you just mentioned, our guys got to go just flip the other side of the ball. If we have a turnover, we got to go play defense. You know, if the guy that turned the ball over, he's got to be ready to play linebacker or whatever it is, defensive line, or, you know, whatever his position is on that side of the field, and he can't hang his head. You know, we got to play the next play. But I was proud of our guys because, you know, at any time they could have laid down and just quit. I mean, they really could have, but they kept fighting, even through all the mistakes and all the problems that we had. They found a way to pull out a win in overtime, and I was extremely proud about that.
Griffin Gaston has been a kid that's continued to see more and more time on the field, yes, but also in the spotlight. It seems like he's a guy that you continue to go to when your offense needs a really big play. 3 rushing touchdowns in that game, including the game winner, all of those coming from the Wildcat spot. What have you liked from the junior Griffin Gaston?
Well, Griffin, number one, is a tremendous kid, but he's also a tremendous athlete, and he gives us something, you know, that at quarterback even Max may not have is the speed on the edge. If you notice, we don't take him inside very much. We let him get on the edge and be an athlete and do the things that he's good at. And, he's hard to tackle in open field. So we give him that opportunity to get out there and take that role on, and he's doing a great job with it.
Take me into the huddle before that overtime period. Again, for high school and for those that don't know it, you start first and goal at the 10-yard line, and you have 4 downs to either find the end zone or try and put 3 points on the board. You obviously want to play defense first, but Dadeville wins the toss. Take me through the mindsets on each side of the ball going into that overtime period.
Well, it's just, you know, we talk to them, it's one play at a time. You know, we got to do what we got to do. We get 4 downs and try to get in. We put Griffin out there with the mindset that we were going to get on the edge and again, put him in open field and see what, you know, something happens. If, you know, if he had been stopped or, you know, if we'd lost yards on a play, obviously we'd gone back with Max because we had to do something different. And Max had not done anything to not get to play in the overtime. But we just talked to him about one play at a time. Let's do the best we can do. Let's do our job and we'll be fine. And we did that on those 2 plays.
Lee Scott remains perfect on the season at 6-0 and 4-0 in region play, and coach, secure a spot in the 3A AHSAA state playoffs. We thought we were able to say that last year. Now this year we can say that with a little bit of conviction. The job is obviously far from over, but talk about what that means for yourself and for the team as well.
Well, it's huge. It's huge for our school. It's huge for our team. And it's huge to let people know in the state that, you know, we do deserve to be in this league. We're a good enough football team to play with these guys. I mean, you know, maybe not week in, week out, but we deserve to be here, and we've earned a spot in the playoffs. Now, we don't know where there's 1 or 2 yet. It's coming down now to the Glenwood game, which is already a big game. It's already huge for us. It's a big rivalry, you know, from AISA. And now it comes down to, you know, be 1 or 2 from that game, you know, thinking, you know, if we BB Comer down the road. We don't overlook BB Comer or anything like that, but we really think that this game is going to be deciding 1 or 2, which is the Glenwood game next week.
Well, you mentioned that. Before that, though, Wadley this weekend, you hit the road to take on, again, a really, really good Wadley team, undefeated in 1A, although not a region game. Some people say that it might not matter, but I know for you and your staff and your players, that's definitely not the case, especially after what you saw on the field at Dadeville. What would you like to see from your team in this matchup?
Well, I'd like to see us play a complete game. You know, win or lose, whatever happens, if we play a good football game, take care of the football, do the little things at least God has been talked about doing. And, you know, win or lose, we can pick our head up and go on down the road because we are playing a really, really good football team next week, this Friday. You know, they got a five-star defensive end that's going to Auburn. That's also a running back. They've got other players that can beat you. They're undefeated. They're number one in 1A. I mean, everything is in front of us. We've got nothing to lose in this game. You know, we're not supposed to win. I told our guys outside of our huddle yesterday that probably no one in the state thinks we can win this football game except us. You know, you look back to last year, we had them down 15 points in the third quarter and let it slip out of our hands. So we hope to play a more complete game this week. You know, if we can get up on them and try to hold them on defense, that'll be great, you know, but this game is not going to make or break our season. We want to win, obviously, to keep our, you know, winning streak going. But, you know, again, it's not going to make or break us. We're going to go in the game and play loose and play free, hopefully, and just play a good, complete football game.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. As always, head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel, the Warriors taking on the Wadley Bulldogs again this Friday night. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 over on AU 100.3 with myself and my color commentator, Rhett Crome. And, Coach, we're having a blast calling these games, calling your team, and hopefully we get to continue doing that with another big-time win. And hopefully there's an unblemished record here coming up next time that we get to talk.
Well, let's hope so. But like I said, you never know what's going to happen. But hopefully we can go in and play a good football game and give Wadley a really good game at their place. It's going to be a tough place to play. They got good crowds, hostile environment. So we're going to go in and hopefully play a good game and see what happens.
Yes, sir. Coach, appreciate your time. Go Warriors.
Thank you. Go Warriors.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Lee Scott's head football coach, Buster Daniel, joined Christian today talking about the Warriors, who still undefeated. You guys are on a roll, my man. I mean, I know it wasn't the prettiest game you've ever seen, or the cleanest game, or the best performance that Buster's ever had with his squad, but a win to win. And the fact that was a game you guys dropped a year ago, which kept you out of the playoffs and able to go on the road, get it done against a team in Dadeville, you've said, Christian, it is better than the record shows. The fact that you now get to continue an undefeated season is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, going and looking at this Dadeville team, they're ranked as 1-5, but are anything but that. You lost to Elmore County 31-30 in overtime when they went for a two-point conversion and underthrew a wide-open receiver where could have gotten a win. They lost to Randolph County, which is a really, really good team, 35-34. Yeah. And we're told that they should have won that game as well. And then taking Lee Scott into overtime, it was probably the game that they wanted to play, just a gross, ugly football game where Lee Scott had plenty of chances, but continued to shoot themselves in the foot with turnovers. We talked about it on the Lee Scott Sports Network the final 14 minutes of the game going into the third quarter and just about the entire fourth quarter were played between the Dadeville 20 and the Lee Scott 35 or 40. It was Lee Scott would get the ball, would drive down and fumble or turn the ball over. Dadeville would punt right back to midfield. You would drive a little bit and it felt like there was another turnover. Dadeville would pick up a first down and then punt. Punt return gets to the 40-yard line. And it felt like it was just back and forth, not even between the 20s. But, man, both teams had two or three chances to win in the final 3 or 4 minutes. Ends up going to overtime. And again, I had to do a little bit of research during the break because that was my first overtime game that I had ever called. And so
I've only been a part of one or two.
Yeah, but having to realize that it's not traditional college overtime rules. Again, talking with him, with Coach Buster Daniel, on it's first and goal, 10-yard line, and you have four downs to either punch it in the end zone or try and kick a field goal. And obviously, yeah, you want to play defense first. That way you know exactly what you need to do. But Dadeville, they won the toss. Lee Scott got the football first. And Griffin Gaston, who, again, is the Orthopedic Clinic Player of the Week, got to talk a lot about him on the show and with Coach Buster Daniel just a few moments ago. That was his third rushing touchdown of the night in overtime. Just a really good decision maker with the ball in his hands. Junior, he's listed as a quarterback, but we've seen him play slot. We've seen him play in the running back spot as well. And that was his third rushing touchdown from the Wildcat. Just get it and go. Not necessarily the most patient runner, but I say that very complimentary of him. Of even if it's not the right read, he'll make it the right read and lower his shoulder. He was able to find the end zone. And Lee Scott able to hold on thanks to a couple third and fourth down long plays after their first and second down runs didn't go anywhere. A couple throws to the end zone, and Lee Scott was able to force a couple incompletions. And shout out to the guys that were there for Dadeville. I got to talk with a couple of them during our setup and during everything. Again, we were making the jokes about the Taylor Swift album on Friday afternoon and told them that, or basically made a joke saying, if anybody's out there listening and you see me, ask me how the album was. I had two or three guys come up to me wearing Dadeville uniforms, wearing Dadeville hats, and coming up and saying that they listen and they enjoy everything that we do. And so again, shout out to y'all. I made more friends prior to kickoff than after kickoff. We were told we were number one a couple times.
Setting up in the home stands on the road is not all that. It's not all that much fun. I've been there. We had to do that at. We did that at Opelika this year.
Yeah, and yeah. So we did that. But we set up behind the concourse as well, right next to the concession stand, which was again a fine setup. But again, especially in overtime when you're amped up and you have a game-winning call. And everybody starts flooding out in front of you. I'm not the best lip reader, and I chose to keep my headphones on. But, again, we were told we were number one with the other finger a couple times. And can't tell exactly what they said. Maybe they just said we were really freaking good, and maybe that was all that was said as they were walking out. But no hard feelings whatsoever. I can imagine how hard it is for them in a very emotional game, and then that frustration and hearing – us on the Lee Scott Sports Network right behind you letting it all out. No hard feelings whatsoever, but again, very appreciative of their athletic director, their coach has given us a really nice setup, and again, what was ultimately a really, really fun game.
You bring up Taylor Swift.
Is this the Purdue stat?
Somebody sent us a stat earlier when we started the show on our text box at 334-784-1067. I think there's a little bit more to it because I'm not up to date on my Taylor Swift album release dates.
Okay, whatever.
But it got released last Friday, right?
I heard you jamming to it.
It got released last Friday. Purdue played Illinois this weekend, so I don't know if this stat is still accurate or if we need to add one more, but regardless.
Or if it's up for grabs this weekend.
Purdue, since the year 2006, when Taylor Swift, I think, started making music, they are 0-11 immediately following the release of a Taylor Swift album. So, I don't know if that was 0-6 before she released her album on Friday and they lost to Illinois, making that 0-12.
They're 0-11 before.
Or now they're 0-11 because of the loss to Illinois this past weekend. But,
that's incredible.
Regardless, that's phenomenal. That's journalism. That's an article from Athlon Sports. Journalism.
Credit to whoever went back and did that research.
I will give credit to Jeremy Lockett on Athlon Sports. For nearly two decades, a surprising pattern has appeared whenever Purdue takes the field shortly after a major pop culture event. That's incredible.
Mr. Lockett, well done, sir.
I mean, how do you, like, what was he doing one day where he said, you know what? Let me see if there's a trend here. Like, Where do you even come up with that? That's phenomenal. So, yeah, we joked about Taylor Swift, and doesn't sound like any sports talk radio in West Lafayette is joking about Taylor Swift. They do not want to be hearing her on the radio. But, yeah, so Lee Scott still undefeated. Again, shout-out Buster Daniel for joining us, as he does every Tuesday. And head coach Keith Etheridge will join us on Thursday to talk some Auburn High football as the Tigers took their second loss of the season, first one in region play. Tough one at home last week against the Central Red Devils. 36-0 was the score. Red Devils come in and get it done. They take care of business against Auburn High. And, man, a tough one for Auburn. Just a game where you just – again, you couldn't get out of your own way. It happened to you against Vestavia on the road in week two. It happened to you last week at home at Duck Sanford. Three turnovers for Auburn High's offense turned into three touchdowns for the Central Red Devils. And so with that, Auburn is still very much alive in the postseason race. Auburn is still very much alive in terms of being a 2 or 3 seed out of Region 2 in 7A. But you got to pick yourself back up after being beat pretty bad by Central and on the road at Smith Station this Friday. Let's get to the phone lines here quickly. 334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line, my friend. I got about a minute or so for you.
Okay, well, I'll just talk about 10% of what I was going to say then. When I was getting a master's at Auburn, we were doing a data mining class, and we had this function where you could put in all this data, and I did like the two most often bought purchases of Walmart. So I just put all this data, all these receipts and sales at Walmart, and it came out with diapers. Most people think peanut butter and jelly, but it came out with diapers and beer. So the two most, not most often bought, but the two most often bought together. So I assume this guy had some type of program like that to run. You know, he typed in something, or heck, with AI now, who knows what you can get. But that was outstanding data with Purdue and Taylor. That's hilarious.
Isn't that incredible?
But when you said that, I was like, it's not as hard as you think as it used to be. You know?
Maybe.
But,
yeah, with AI, but it's more so of just like the idea. Like, again, who?
Creativity.
Like, yeah, right, how did you come up with the idea to be like, let me see if this trend even exists? And then, sure, I mean, history and AI and things like that. It's just wild that somebody came up with the idea itself.
Right. No, I agree. Just before you go, I'm not sure if I called and let you know that Auburn did beat Alabama in rugby, and I will call later. If we lose against Georgia, no fear, Auburn. We still have a team that hits. They hit, and there's no penalties. No one gets taken out of the game. There's no getting up excited and all of a sudden going, oh, there's no instant replay where you score and it gets taken away and you're like, oh, there's none of that disappointment that we get at every game. So I'll call later when I have more time next week.
Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390.
High school football. It's kind of like rugby. You don't have the instant replay, which is nice.
No, there's no instant replay. Are the officials bad? No, I'm just kidding. sorry. That was mean.
No, they're volunteer dads, dude. What the hell?
Yeah, that's right. So Lee Scott's on the road at Wadley this week. Auburn High's on the road at Smith Station trying to get right. Carver comes in next Friday to the Duck, and then we're on the road at Dothan. So the fact that the regular season's coming down the home stretch. Auburn High's bye week is the end of the regular season. 7A typically takes it that October 31st, so that's what the Tigers will do. But Tigers at Smith Station. Warriors are at Wadley. We'll tell you more about it later on in the week. But hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We got a whole lot more football talk coming up, plus basketball in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this sunny afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. And if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we had a lot of fun, covered a lot of ground, and had some good involvement on the phone lines and the text box as well, and also had a great guest in that hour too. And so if you missed any of it, you can go and check that out on the on our station website in the podcast center. If you missed any of this, the first hour, you can check that out. ESPNAU.com. We talked about a little bit more about Auburn's decision to move the season opener next year out of Jordan-Hare into Atlanta for NIL opportunities. Also gave Auburn football an overall grade at this point in the season. And then sat down, Christian did, with the head coach of Lee Scott Academy football, Buster Daniel, and then also talked a little bit of high school ball as well. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check it out in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we get to talk about Auburn basketball's SEC game times being released. That was just about an hour and a half ago or so. And so because of that, we get to look at the schedule as a whole. There's a lot of late tips, even on Saturdays, that it's going to be split on the fan base side of things. If you like the late games, or if you prefer the early games, again, pros and cons. With each of those, we're talking about the Alabama game, both at home and away, and then a little bit of a quick overlook of what does Auburn need to do. We've done our job of splitting the season into 4 and 5 game sections. Again, the bye week is right in the middle, in between the 9 games, or in between the 9th and the 10th game. So 9 games before the bye week, and then 9 games after. And so splitting those two sections into two more sections, what does Auburn need to do in those games? And wherever we say that they should finish or what they need to do, where would that put them in the SEC and in the NCAA tournament as well? Before we get a little bit of an MLB, just a mini segment as we give our updates on some of the games last night, some more of the games that are going on. We have one game that's about to tip off, or about to have first pitch as we speak, with the Mariners and the Tigers. That series is split 1-1, so game three happening here in just a couple of minutes, and then some news, or lack thereof, on the Braves side of things. Before we give not necessarily our deep dive and our predictions, but just a brief overlook of what this weekend's college football slate looks like. Last week was not necessarily overly sexy on the when you're looking at just the slate as a whole. You still had some really, really good games and some upsets in there as well. But man, this weekend, not quite comparable to the one a couple of weeks ago, the September 27th and 28th with the Ryder Cup, MLB, and the just fantastic games in college football. But there is still a bunch of really, really good games this weekend. And so we'll get to dive into all of that here in hour number two.
Yep, phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. They're open the entire second hour of today's program, 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. Or you can get involved with us in our show text box, which is 334-784-1067. It's been very active this week, and we appreciate that. We always enjoy reading your text and thoughts there as well. But we do start this hour with basketball, because the SEC, the Big Ten has done it too, announcing not just the schedules for basketball, but now we have the tip-off times, right? Where basketball, much different than football schedule releasing, where football does it week by week, or at least the week ahead, right? We just learned that Auburn and Missouri will be a night game in Jordan-Hare for now, unless, you know, never mind.
It shouldn't change.
It shouldn't. I mean, just go ahead and buy your hotels for Nashville in case they decide to move it, you know. Auburn and Missouri next week for football is a night game inside of Jordan-Hare. But basketball, right, we get all the times right now. So going into the season, you know that Auburn will play this team in this location at this time. And just from the teams alone, Christian, just from the slate itself, it's already one of the toughest schedules in college basketball for brand new head coach Stephen Pearl, with your non-conference games, with your tournaments that you're involved in, and then how the SEC games are stacked up. We learned who you were going to play, where you were going to play them. Then you learned how they were stacked up, and now we know the tip-off times for the 2025 and the 2026 season for Auburn basketball. And man, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And we say that every year. We say it about every team. There are no easy games. There are no easy schedules. But Auburn's going to have to work this year to find some wins in conference play.
Yeah, they are. John Rothstein, again, somebody that we follow in the world of college basketball, does it just about better than anybody when it comes to college basketball. I saw a couple of quotes that he had saying that this schedule is the most difficult that a year one coach has ever had. And it's hard to disagree with the non-conference alone, right? When you're looking at just what they have prior to SEC play, where you have Houston in Birmingham, you have Oregon and Michigan State in Las Vegas, not including what will be or what could be that third game if Auburn takes care of business in that championship game. You then have NC State at home. You go to Tucson to take on Arizona. You go to Indianapolis to take on Purdue. And then you have Queens on December 29th is kind of your wrap-up, your tune-up before SEC play starts. But, I mean, just looking at those games in itself is already a crazy, difficult non-conference schedule that you then work your way into SEC play, where it's just an absolute gauntlet. And that starts Saturday, January 3rd at noon, when you head to Stegman Coliseum to take on Georgia.
That's a tough SEC opener, man, because Georgia, we talked with Jordan Hill, as we do every Wednesday of Dogs 247, and if I recall correctly, he thinks and told us that the talent on the roster may not be as good, but he thinks this team can still be solid compared to last year, right? He thinks maybe
you don't have the Asa Newell that you had last year.
But they could still be a really good team and compete in the SEC, and I think the expectation for them is to make the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, it's easily to make it. Yeah, it'll be, again, it's hard to overcome a first-round pick and then what would have been a top-five point guard in the SEC and Silas Demery transferring to UConn, but still a lot of
that's tough.
Big pieces. That's very tough to overcome.
What do you do when your point guard gets taken by Dan Hurley? You're just like, well, tip cap.
You shake his hand and say, yeah. We'll go watch you be great from a distance. Go be great, King.
Yeah, go be great. So, yeah, that's Auburn's SEC opener for basketball, and Stephen Pearl is on the road on a Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock in Stegman Coliseum. I've been there. It's tough. I know you've been there as well. It's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And what
it's
an
a
opportunity.
Weird setup, too.
It is, with just the big wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And what an opportunity for Georgia to get off to a nice start in their SEC opener with Auburn coming to town.
Well, that's what they did they did it twice last year. They beat Kentucky, and who else? Was it Ole Miss?
Something like that, yeah.
Or was it Mississippi State when they shot like 78 free throws in those two combined games?
Gross. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. It was disgusting.
Yeah, and so the best way to look at this schedule for Auburn, we broke it down into kind of segments, right? Because in basketball, you get the one bye week during SEC play, and by a bye week, you just don't play the midweek game, right?
Yeah.
You'll play the weekend, no midweek game, and then you'll pick up the weekend as well, same way that you have in football. And the best way to look at this is, yes, the non-conference schedule, which you just read off, it's insane, another tough schedule for the Tigers. But in SEC play, we broke this up in segments. And if Auburn can just survive most of them, you feel like they'll be in a pretty good spot for 2026.
Yeah, again, the bye week comes halfway through the 18-game SEC slate. And so there's 9 games the bye week on that Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you have the 9 final games. And so we broke it into a 5-game stretch, a 4-game stretch, the bye week, a 5-game stretch, and a 4-game stretch. And before we dive into those, I know that I kind of teased it when we were first talking about it, but a lot of late tips in this slate. Again, you have the 12 o'clock tip at Georgia. That's the only noon game that you play all season long in SEC play. You only have 3 6 o'clock or earlier tips in midweek. One's at Missouri. You have 2 at home with Texas and Vanderbilt. And then I know we'll dive into the Alabama game as well. But when we're reading this off, folks, prepare. If you're wanting to go watch your team play or inside Neville Arena or even on TV, get the coffee. Get the espresso.
If you're early to bed, early to rise, you're not going to be very happy with
especially
this Auburn
if you're listening
schedule.
Yeah, especially if you're listening in Eastern time.
Yeah. If you happen to not be in the Central time zone and you're on the East Coast or up north or something, I'm really sorry because you're not going to be happy. And for folks like us who cover this team, it's going to be some late nights, but not complaining. Just saying there's going to be some late nights out there, all right? Don't want to be a front runner or anything. I just making sure people know that there's a lot of late games this year, so just be prepared. So, so we broke it up into, you said it, several game segments, 5 games, 4 games, bye, 5 games, 4 games into the regular season.
Yeah, and so the first one is January 3rd to January 17th. That is the 5-game stretch where you head to Georgia at noon. You then host A&M at 8 p.m. Central. You then go, that's the Tuesday game, by the way. You then host Arkansas Saturday, January 10th at 5 p.m. You then go to Columbia, Missouri to take on Missouri at one of your early tips. The 6 p.m. Central game before you're back home on Saturday, January 17th to take on South Carolina. That is a 5 o'clock Central time game. And so again, Georgia at Georgia, home for A&M, home for Arkansas, at Missouri, and home for South Carolina.
When we broke these games up into their different quadrants here, you and I were on the pretty same wavelength in terms of what Auburn should or needs to do to have a successful season. And we went with this bare minimum, right? This first 5-game stretch, we both said Auburn needs to go 4-1. As crazy as that sounds, right, going up against Georgia, who will be improved with Mike White, Texas A&M, not with Buzz Williams.
Yeah, big question mark.
Bucky McMillan, Buckyball.
A team that you know will be able to score the basketball.
And will still play elite-level defense. That's at least at home on a Tuesday night, late night at 8. Then you host John Calipari in Arkansas, who may be the most talented team in the SEC. You go to Como, and then you host South Carolina. That's a lot to ask, yes. But given what the rest of this schedule looks like, 4-1 would really set yourself up nicely. If you go 3-2 in that stretch or 2-3, it could be a long SEC schedule.
Yeah, I think 3-2, again, while that should not be the expectation, it just means that you need to make up, I feel like, a game in one of these sections if you are doing what you expect to do in conference play.
And as we've already talked and will continue to talk about this Auburn basketball team, they will only get better as the year goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so cliche coach speak, but with this team, this roster, with one returning player, 3 freshmen, one of them injured and won't play the first couple of months of the season, and a brand new head coach, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time, and that's okay. But in that first 5-game stretch, man, if you're able to get off to a 4-1 or 5-0 start, but 4-1 is fine. If you're able to get off to a 4-1 start with home games against A&M and Arkansas on a Saturday night, that's a huge, huge deal.
Again, segment 1, January 3rd through January 17th at Georgia, home for A&M, home for Arkansas, at Missouri, and home for South Carolina. You then move into the final 4 games before the bye week. That is January 20th through January 21st. That is at Ole Miss in the Pavilion at 8 p.m. Central. Again, another late kick or late tip on Tuesday night. You then head to Gainesville, yes, to take on Florida in the O'Connell Center. That will be a 3 or a 3:30 tip-off on Saturday before you head back home to take on Texas. That is your second of 3 early tips. That is the 6 p.m. Central game. Again, that game Wednesday, January 28th, before you head to Thompson Bowling Arena on Saturday, January 31st. That is the 7:30 p.m. Central tip-off. And so, again, that 4-game stretch at Ole Miss, at Florida, home for Texas, and at Tennessee.
Is there a tougher four-game stretch of the season than that right there? At Ole Miss against Chris Beard, at Florida against Todd Golden, home versus Texas where Sean Miller is their new head coach, and then at Tennessee versus Rick Barnes. Does it get tougher than that? Late night game against Ole Miss midweek, then you head back home for a day or two before you head down to Florida for a mid-afternoon Saturday game, come home for a late night, or I guess 6 o'clock game against Texas, then you get on the bus and you go up or on the plane and you travel to Knoxville for a late night Saturday night game against Tennessee. At Ole Miss, at Florida, home for Texas, at Tennessee. That might be the toughest four stretch that Auburn has or any team sees this season.
And the reason that is because, or the that is the reason why we give that four-game stretch 2-2 and a thumbs up.
2-2, shake his hand, tip your cap, and move on. If you can go 2-2 in that stretch, which means winning the home game and stealing one on the road, I'm fine with that. Stealing one of Ole Miss, Florida, or Tennessee, sure. Give me that, and let's move on.
And I don't think you'd complain about which one.
No, I don't think so.
Again, that's we're kind of putting this at what bare minimum needs to happen. Obviously, I think 3-1 could happen, especially if you go and beat Ole Miss. Florida's the toss-up game. You go beat Texas back at home, and then Tennessee, you're playing for that 3-1 spot in this four-game stretch. Sure. But if you're able to do what we have said needs to happen, that puts you at 6-3 going into the bye week. I don't think you'd have too many complaints.
We'll continue talking this Auburn men's basketball schedule as it is fully released with tip-off times coming up for 25 and 26. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, continuing to talk about the fully released Auburn men's basketball schedule, particularly in the SEC, because we know who, we know where, and we know what time now with all of these tip-off times being released for Auburn men's basketball. Now, could these move and be changed because of TV radio purposes? Yes, they could. But we at least know an idea of what these are going to look like. And we've broken this down for Auburn men's basketball in 25 and 26 with new head coach Stephen Pearl in four quadrants, if you will. A five-game stretch, a four-game stretch, the bye week right in the middle of the year, a five-game stretch, and a four-game stretch. We agree that Auburn, hopefully, we would like to see Auburn go 4-1 against Georgia, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Missouri, and South Carolina. We would like to see the Tigers go 2-2 at Ole Miss, at Florida, home for Texas, and at Tennessee, which I need to sit down and do more comparisons with the rest of the SEC schedules, but I'm going to feel pretty confident in saying that's one of the toughest four-game stretches in the SEC. Then you get a bye week. Again, you go to Ole Miss, to Florida, home for Texas, and at Tennessee on Saturday night, January 31st. You get a much-needed bye week there. Your next five-game stretch for Auburn. You host Alabama on Saturday, February 7th for 3 or 3:30 start time. You then host Vanderbilt Tuesday night at 6.
Which is your last early tip. Those are your three early tips in the midweek. You have one at Missouri, and then you have Texas and Vanderbilt.
You then go to Arkansas Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day night at 7:30 in Bud Walton. You go to Mississippi State at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you host Kentucky for a 7:30 tip in Neville Arena on Saturday night, February 21st. So that five-game stretch again, home for Alabama on Saturday afternoon at 3 or 3:30, home for Vanderbilt Tuesday night at 6, at Arkansas Saturday, 7:30, at Mississippi State Wednesday night at 8, and then home for Kentucky on Saturday, February 21st at 7:30. Your thoughts on that five-game stretch?
Yeah, leading up to this game, again, those nine games, we had Auburn at 6-3 going into the bye week before this nine-game stretch as well, or these first five games that we're talking about. You want to say 3-2. I feel like if we're talking what should happen, what needs to happen if Auburn still wants to accomplish some of their big goals and get where they want to go here this season. Again, Alabama, Vanderbilt at home, at Arkansas, at State, and then home for Kentucky. You feel like, I mean, if you're able to win all three home games, then obviously it puts you in a different spot where at Arkansas and at Mississippi State might not be what you want to go and lose. But again, 7:30 at Arkansas, the late tip at Mississippi State,
that's
a very, very tough place to play, which Auburn has proven over the past couple of years when they have to go there. So I think 3-2, I will say, is good enough in that five-game stretch for there to still be exactly the energy and the hype needed for this final four-game stretch.
I think so. I think 3-2 there, beating Alabama, beating Vanderbilt, and then getting one of at Arkansas, at Mississippi State, and home for Kentucky. I think if you can do that, I think you're feeling pretty good. And then the final four-game stretch to end the regular season for Auburn men's basketball in 25 and 26. Tuesday night, February 24th, late night tip at Oklahoma, 8 o'clock. You come back for Ole Miss on Saturday night, February 28th at 7:30. This is the kicker right here now. At home, Tuesday, March 3rd, against LSU.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Oh, cool. That's fine. Should be a fun game, right? Yeah, how about a 9 o'clock Central Time start on a Tuesday night?
Central Time.
Yeah, sorry for any of our East Coast friends. 9 o'clock Central Time tip for Auburn-LSU basketball on Tuesday, March 3rd, inside of Neville Arena.
Is that them trying to squeeze as many games as you can before the final Saturday of going to 5, 7, and 9?
It's got to be. Got to be. Because that's on SEC Network. So I bet that's a 5, 7, and 9, which, if that's the case, that tells me that the TV networks have not figured out that 2 hours is not enough time for a college basketball game. But
two and a half isn't half the time anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. So, so Auburn again at Oklahoma on a Tuesday night at 8. Then you come back for Ole Miss on a Saturday night at 7:30. Home for LSU Tuesday night at 9 before you hit the road to Tuscaloosa. Saturday, March 7th in the regular season finale at 7:30 on Saturday night against the Crimson Tide.
What date is that? Again, that's
the Alabama game.
No, the LSU game, the late tip.
Tuesday, March 3rd.
I'm looking at all the other games, March 3rd.
At least in the SEC, because again, that one's on SEC Network.
SEC Network games have Tennessee, South Carolina at 6, Mississippi State, Florida at 8, and LSU, Auburn at 10, Eastern time. So yeah, they have three games on SEC Network.
Yeah, they did 5, 7, and 9 Central time. Yeah. That, no way that ends poorly for the last game of the night on SEC Network, right?
I mean, I'd be just as upset if I'm a South Carolina fan. A 5 o'clock game? If you're planning on going to that game?
Yeah. Is Columbia Central or Eastern time?
I believe they're Eastern.
I want to say they're Eastern. That would make sense, but I don't know that answer off the top of my head.
Yeah, Eastern. So, okay. Again, that's a 5 o'clock game for them. 6 o'clock game.
Six o'clock game for them. That's not as bad then.
No.
That's not as bad. Not great, but not as bad.
My brain was doing really hard work trying to look at Auburn versus the rest of the games on that calendar. But again, 3-1 during that stretch.
At OU, home for Ole Miss, home for LSU, at Alabama. Absolutely. 3-1.
That puts you at 12-6 in SEC play. And just based off of what you're expecting to see this season in SEC play, I'd be willing to say that puts you right in the conversation of a double bye.
I would say so. I'd say a double bye in the SEC tournament. I'd say a five seed or better in the NCAA tournament and every chance in the world to make a run when March Madness comes around. So there you go. That's the updated SEC men's basketball schedule for head coach Stephen Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. That season right around the corner, but we still have football to talk about. We'll get to that when we come back. Start looking ahead to this weekend across the country.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He's Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on ESPN 106.7. And we're diving into the college football slate for this upcoming weekend. But rapid fire MLB mini segment. No, we'll keep it off. You were about to say something negative. I'll keep the mic off.
I was going to say it about my own team.
Oh, okay.
Because like, we don't have to since the Red Sox aren't in it anymore.
That's what makes baseball fun.
Nobody here cares anymore about baseball since the Red Sox are out of it.
And since the Braves, you might have a legitimate argument.
That's probably more so what people care about.
Yeah. But Dodgers go up 2-0. Phillies almost come back, but ruin it in the home half of the ninth inning.
Yeah,
Brewers go up 2-0. Game 3 again for the Mariners and Tigers going on right now, and then Yankees and Blue Jays later on here this evening. It's 2-0 Toronto.
Come on, Toronto. Come on, baby.
Series.
It's been an awesome series, man. I love it.
It has from the standpoint of the Toronto Bats, yes. Braves news. Still no news on any sort of manager. I heard they're having applications on Indeed, so just go ahead and apply, and you might be able to be the new manager for the Braves. And a crazy stat as we wrap up this very inclusive MLB segment is the Braves used 71 different pitchers throughout the season. That sets an MLB 71. Record. 71 different pitchers in the 2025 season. Sets an MLB record.
In a 162-game season, you use 71 pitchers.
Yeah. 71 different pitchers. Not just saying, like, these guys, Chris Sale went onto the mound 10 times and that counts as 10 starts. No. 71 different names touched the rubber wearing an Atlanta Braves uniform.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Also, Mariners-Tigers is delayed. I just saw that. Mariners-Tigers is delayed. So, yeah. Anyway, Mariners-Tigers delayed in the top of the first. You mentioned it. Blue Jays. that's funny. That's good. I didn't pick up on it. You could have just moved right along. You could have moved right along. I wouldn't have picked up on it, but... That's funny.
Picked up on what? Sorry, I was coughing. No.
Yeah, sorry, I got to step out for a minute. Look, Tracy literally stepped outside because of that. So there you go. So yeah, there's your very quick baseball power, I don't know, 3 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But we get back to football as we do begin to look ahead to this weekend for college football, where you said it earlier, this past weekend, at least on paper, wasn't supposed to be all that great, and it was fine, right? There were some good games. There were some big games and some big moments, but the teams that were supposed to win pretty much did outside of the two disappointments of the season, Penn State and Texas, right? I mean, sure. Ohio State won, Miami won, Oklahoma won, Texas A&M won, Alabama, Texas Tech, Georgia, right? I mean, a couple of upsets in there. Again, Penn State, Texas, Iowa State got upset this weekend. But most teams who were favored took care of business. You look ahead to this weekend, though, and, man, there are some awesome matchups. Georgia-Auburn, yes. Auburn-Georgia, yes, right? However you want to say that. Auburn-Georgia, Saturday night. How about Ohio State, Illinois, the number one team in the country, back out on the road, heading to Champaign to take on 17th-ranked Illinois, who has responded nicely after being blasted by Indiana. They beat USC. Now they have a chance to beat the number one team in the country. So, a top 20 matchup at 11 a.m. in the Big Ten. You have a top 15 matchup at 11 a.m. in the SEC with 8th-ranked Alabama in Como taking on 14th-ranked Missouri. You have a top 10 matchup in the Big Ten at 2:30 with 7th-ranked Indiana in Eugene taking on 3rd-ranked Oregon. A supposed to be top 25 matchup, but it's not, with 6th-ranked Oklahoma and Texas for Red River.
Texas is favored by 1.5 in that game.
That's dropped by 2 points. That opened up at a 3.5-point favorite for Texas, which means everybody is hammering Oklahoma, as they should.
Which means late money, you'll bring it right back to about 2.5.
Probably, yeah. That's it for ranked matchups, but then just ranked teams in action. I mean, really intriguing games this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you have Pitt at Florida State, which Pitt was supposed to be one of the surprises in the ACC. Can Florida State respond? They're 0-2 in conference play. Remember after they beat Alabama, and Florida State had like a 74% chance of going to the college football playoff, according to a bunch of the experts. But they're trying to get back as they are at home taking on Pitt. Again, you mentioned Indiana, Oregon, Red River. You have Arkansas and Tennessee, which could be a really fun game. It might not be, but it could be a really fun game. You have Florida taking on Texas A&M. Can DJ Lagway and Billy Napier continue the momentum in College Station? What a wild game that could possibly be.
How did Texas A&M pull off three straight home games in SEC play? How the heck did they pull that off? Auburn, Mississippi State, and Florida.
It's pretty awesome.
And one's a mid-afternoon, and then two night games. Auburn was a 2:30 kick. Mississippi State was a night game. Florida's a night game. 6 o'clock on ESPN. How in the world do they pull that off?
What is the rest of their schedule?
At Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri. So they pay it back.
Yeah.
They pay it right back. Three games at home in a row, three games on the road in a row, then South Carolina at home, Samford at home, and then they go at Texas. So the back end of their schedule makes up for it a little bit, but
it does, but even, I mean, the early part of their season, yes, you had Notre Dame, and that was the road game, but
still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Other ones in there, Kansas takes on Texas Tech. That will be that'll end up being a really, really fun game, and you'll learn a lot about this Texas Tech team. What is the over in that game?
58.5.
Take it. Take it right now.
Both quarterbacks throwing lines, passing lines will be about 310.5 would be my guess. They'll both throw for
Daniels will probably be that with rushing as well, I would assume.
Yeah, probably. He has 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions this year.
And that was Monopoly impressive money that I'm talking about, so don't come back and put that in
means
my face. If,
yeah, that's right.
But 58.5 sounds pretty nice because there's going to be a lot of points scored in that because Kansas' offense is great. Kansas' defense is not.
Not so great.
is not so great.
Yeah.
You have Michigan taking on Southern Cal, which
is
a very, very big game. Florida or Michigan 4-1. 2-0 in conference play. I don't know where Florida came from in that conversation, but
Jordan Brand.
Maybe that's what it was. 15th ranked Michigan. They're 4-1, 2-0 in the Big Ten. USC unranked, but very easily could be. Again, they lost to Illinois. They're coming off a bye week, and now they host Michigan, which could be a very, very fun game in the Coliseum.
Yeah, that's in the Coliseum. That's what I was going to say. A huge opportunity for Michigan and USC, who they're both fighting for. I talked about this yesterday. They're both fighting to be that fourth team out of the Big Ten right now because it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, Indiana, and then there's a bunch of teams right there trying to be that fourth spot, whether it's Michigan or USC or Illinois or Washington or any of those teams who very well could find their way into the college football playoff if the Big 12 tears itself apart, if the ACC continues to be bad, and if the SEC, let's be real, doesn't clean up its act, the Big 10 might have an argument to get four teams in, and it could come down to a game like this, Michigan and USC on Saturday night.
Well, that and Michigan continuing to get better and better with Bryce Underwood. I mean, many people wrote this Michigan team off after their 24-13 loss at Oklahoma. You hadn't really heard much about them since then, but again, a 3-point win at Nebraska, which I think is going to continue to look like a better win. And then you beat Wisconsin 24-10. Nobody really paid attention or cared about that game, but when you go back and look at it, you're not going to highlight that game individually rather than, oh, look, Michigan's on a 3-game win streak and could easily turn that into 4, if not 5, if not 6. But their next 3 games are really tough. So USC, Washington, and then Michigan State in there as well. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to want Bryce Underwood, that story in the college football playoff if they could, especially if Michigan finds a way to beat Ohio State and all of a sudden there is that 4-team pocket right there. Why would they not want all 4 of those teams in there as well? You have the rematch with South Carolina and LSU, a game that LSU fan or South Carolina fans, rather, are still very, very upset about. Again, that pick 6 that got called back last year. Was that the other way around? I don't believe that it was.
I'm trying to remember what play you're talking about.
The LSU-South Carolina game last year. Yes, okay, it was LSU. It was South Carolina's pick 6 that got called back on the roughing the passer, where LSU won 36-33 on the road. But many people go back and say that that pick six for South Carolina, again, kind of points them to not making the college football playoff. Obviously, that conversation not as much in the picture right now, but still a really, really fun game in Baton Rouge. And then the night games with BYU at Arizona and then Arizona State at Utah. Four teams that I think you need to pay attention to, because Arizona has really turned some heads. Again, doing what they're supposed to do last year, this year. And then BYU, obviously undefeated in a top 25 team. Arizona State coming off a very gutsy win 2 weeks ago at Baylor, and then Utah with Devin Dampier, not an officially ranked team, but could be right in that cusp of a conversation as well.
Well, I want to go back to the South Carolina LSU game, because you were talking about Michigan being a team that people wrote off, and I think South Carolina and LSU are two teams that South Carolina has been written off, and LSU very well could, with South Carolina being 3-2 on the season, 1-2 already in SEC play, right? I mean, they beat Virginia Tech, which was a fine win to start, but we saw their offensive struggles in the opener. They since lost to Vanderbilt and to Missouri, and then took care of business against Kentucky, which was good for them to at least build a little bit of confidence, right, with Shane Beamer and the boys. But in case you forgot what the South Carolina schedule looks like, it's about to get nasty. It's about to get really nasty.
Just throw every single top 10 team on their schedule.
LSU is the 11th ranked team in the country. South Carolina goes to them this weekend. Two, number 11, LSU. Home for number 6, Oklahoma. Home for number 8, Alabama. At number 4, Ole Miss. And at number 5, Texas A&M. All in a row. There's a bye week in there somewhere. But 5 games against, just call it top 10 teams. Just make it easy. Top 10 teams, because LSU's not on the door and knocking on the door. I mean, I don't care if South Carolina was undefeated at this point. They still would not survive that stretch. Nobody could survive that stretch. But I think people have written off that South Carolina team, and they're not going to make the playoffs because they have a lot of struggles, yes, and that schedule is brutal. But what about LSU? That's the direction I wanted to go here, because that's a team that brought everybody back, including their quarterback, very similar to Penn State. But the fact is, LSU at least has a decent win or two on their resume, right? The win against Clemson, I still don't know how to thoroughly judge that. I still think it's a good win for going to Death Valley at night in the opener and getting over that hump of Brian Kelly losing season openers.
Sure.
And then the home win against Florida just got better a little bit, right? But you just drop an egg against Ole Miss. And I know that's 24-19 final score, but, man, Ole Miss is the better team.
Yeah.
Ole Miss was clearly the better team, the better football team all the way around. Not just a better player here and there, not a trick play here and there, but simply put, Ole Miss was the better squad. And now you look at this LSU team moving forward, right, hosting South Carolina this weekend. We told you that. Then they go to Vanderbilt, who's still a top 20 team, hosting number 5, Texas A&M. What a showdown that could be. At number 8, Alabama, and they very well could move up before that game. Then hosting Arkansas, Western Kentucky, and how cool could this one be? LSU, to end the regular season, goes to Norman to take on what is right now the 6th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. But here's the problem. LSU's already got a loss. They've already got a loss, and I see at least one more in there, if not two, if they keep playing the way they're playing. And a 3-loss LSU team probably doesn't make it to the college football playoff.
How wild is it? And I don't think people are ready for this type of conversation, and I might not be either, just from the sake of the argument of South Carolina goes in to Tiger Stadium and gives LSU their 2nd loss. They start 1-2 in conference play. Auburn finds a way to beat Georgia. Georgia starts 2-2 in conference play. Texas already has 2 losses as well. Those are the front runners. Those were the 3 favorites in the SEC, say from the standpoint of what happens in Como. If Missouri beats Alabama, all 4 of the top 4 teams in the preseason of the SEC that were... 3 of them were expected. 3 of them were favorites to make the college football playoff. Alabama was like plus 115 or 120, right on the verge. But if all four of those teams all have a loss, or even if Alabama wins and Alabama goes from the fourth favorite to all of a sudden the front runner in the SEC, what a wild conference it could turn out to be in the back half of the season.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, too, about the Big Ten, is the fact that it's top-heavy like it is, and if the SEC doesn't figure it out, I mean, the SEC could really hurt itself here.
Instead of 3-3, it could be 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, it legitimately could be something like that. How about this stat from Heather Dennett at ESPN? It says LSU, according to ESPN's analytics, has the 10th most difficult remaining schedule in the country.
LSU?
LSU does.
So, I mean, South Carolina's got to be... Got to be first, right?
Yeah. Also says that LSU, hold on, nope. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 10th most difficult remaining schedule. They also have the 10th best odds from the SEC to make it to the conference championship game, which doesn't mean as much as it used to, but that at least gives you an idea of where they stand with the College Football Playoff Committee as well, as they're not projected to make it to Atlanta, so they're not going to have that on their resume. They're going to have to pick up some wins, and, I mean, you really can only afford one more loss, and it better be a good one if you're LSU. So some pretty crazy storylines going on around the conference that likes to beat its chest and say it's the best and it just means more. Trying to get more teams into the College Football Playoff is not going to be easy. So we'll continue talking this as the week goes on, but we need to take our final break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll come back and wrap it all up right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. If you missed any of it, you can always check it out on the Podcast Center, the podcast version of the show, that is. We take the audio, put it for you on our station website each and every day at ESPNAU.com. You can listen live there every day, check out what contest and things we have going on, and also... Again, going back and listening to our shows in the Podcast Center at ESPNAU.com. We've talked a lot of things today. We've covered Auburn football in terms of moving the season opener next year. We had some more conversations there. Also graded out this Auburn football team so far this season as we're approaching the halfway point of the year. And maybe dive a little deeper into that tomorrow in terms of both sides of the football, special teams, positions, and things like that. We gave an overall grade today, but I feel like we can break that down some more tomorrow to start the show. Also, Christian spoke with head coach Buster Daniel of Lee Scott Academy Football, talk about the Warriors as they remain undefeated last week and prepare for the 1A Wadley Bulldogs. We went through Auburn men's basketball's schedule with tip-off times and things like that, and my goodness, it's as tough as it's ever been for new head coach Stephen Pearl. And then just started looking ahead at the games this weekend across college football. Another stunner is going to be on display across the board for the major conferences in college football. So all of that on today's show. If you missed it, check it out again on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Christian mentioned a little bit about some of the baseball scores and updates and things that are going on, but today's a national holiday. Did you know that? Today is a big, big day in the world of sports. Today starts the regular season for the National Hockey League, baby. Hockey is back! It is back, baby, and I cannot wait. I'm absolutely going to be watching. Am I watching playoff baseball tonight? Yes, I'll have it on, but I ain't going to be focusing on that. I'm watching hockey tonight. My team doesn't even play tonight, and I'm still going to be watching it. I can't freaking wait. It's going to be incredible. Blackhawks, Panthers, Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, and Kings. Boom. Bruins play tomorrow in Washington, taking on the Capitals. So I know that absolutely nobody cares about it, but I do. I do. If you want to branch out, try something new, right? Get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Flip it on. I'm just telling you, it's awesome.
I can't second that.
It's fun. It's a fun sport.
Can't say that I'll go out of my way, but when I walk in the door and it's on,
Look, turn it on, pick a team, and follow them this year. I challenge somebody out there right now.
Who's won the last, like, 8 national championships? I'll just pick them and...
I mean, the Florida Panthers are defending champs. So, two-time defending champs.
Oh, well, there we go.
They're trying to three-peat.
There's my team. Paul, that's my team.
Hey, careful there. Okay, we're out of time here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We are back tomorrow,
though.
It was
Paul Gasol. That was who I was talking to.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Paul
Gasol. That's right. We're back tomorrow. We'll talk more football, get some Georgia updates, and more 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.